Good morning and welcome back to the Tuesday Morning After on CKUT at 90.3. It's a quarter past 8 a.m. This is Micah on the mic. And right now we have the pleasure of welcoming Andy Williams to the studio. Andy Williams, educator, researcher, communicator, producer, DJ, and general polymath, is here to talk about a couple of courses that he's going to be teaching at McGill's Continuing Studies Department. We're going to kick things off with a track that will be featured in one of those courses, Fables of Phalbus by Mingus. And Andy, please, would you give us the pleasure of introducing this song?
Yeah, Charles Mingus is pretty sought after in the jazz community. In 1960s, there was the segregated schools in the States, and they came to the conclusion in Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas, that they'd want to have the kids in non-segregated schools. And the governor at the time was Orville Phalbus, who decided that he didn't want the kids to be in a white school. And it was known as the Little Rock Nine. So nine kids were escorted to school the first day, and it created such an uproar that it became a national debate. And Mingus decided to write a track about it called Fables of Phalbus.
All right, let's have a listen to that tune. Unfortunately, I don't think we'll be able to play the whole thing because we want to get back to talking about your courses, but let's listen in right now.
Thank you.
So we were just listening to Fables of Phoebus by Charles Mingus. What's going through your mind when you're hearing music like that, Andy?
Well, for me, I've always been a big Mingus fan. From reading his book, Beneath the Underdog, to various albums that I really like. Very theatrical, very for textural. he's a wacko, but I love him.
Ah,
he's great.
So what were you listening to? Where'd you grow up? What sounds have been influencing you throughout your life?
Well, that's a heavy load there, because I grew up in England in the 60s. I was born in 62, so I got to see a lot through that first 7 years of my life and seeing things. And then left England in 74, moved to Jamaica for a couple of years. I went to a school there called Clarendon College, and then from there I moved to New York, mm-hmm. and then Toronto. So I got to see a lot of anything from ska to punk to rock, and I was a part of that crew too, because I was a rebellious little kid in terms of trying to be a punker, trying to be a hipster, trying to be a funkster, whatever it took, you know?
It sounds like your life has sort of traced the pattern, all those hotspots of musical progressions in those cities.
I'd say so. I remember going back to the Big Sounds in Jamaica, where my Uncle Clive would take me to see the Big Sound Systems, and it's music that I'm playing as of today, you know, still playing today, from your Big Youths to your Uroys to, you know, your Cedric Brooks. So I got to see a lot of that stuff when I was a kid, from the age of 12 to 14. And then coming to North America, my uncles were DJs, so I got to see my uncle Youth. My uncle Earl had a three-story bar, so I got the 45s out of the jukebox. From grade 11 to 13, I was a DJ for the school, so I've always got myself immersed into the music that way.
Yeah, it sounds like you're really steeped in this.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had a career as a DJ and a producer and making albums that span the globe. But can we bring it a little bit more local? What are some of the things that you've been doing lately at CKUT or in Montreal?
I'm involved every year bringing in international musicians for Black History Month. I do a jazz series. I also, this year, I'll be booking some shows for Nude Afrique. I'm also involved heavily into the Montreal Jazz Festival. I do a thing called Jazz Amnesty Sound System. And I, myself and Sweet Daddy Love, who used to be formerly DJ Love from Ninja Tune, we got a project called Jazz Amnesty Sound System, where we play music from the turn of the 20th century till 2014. We just did a thing called Evolution of Jazz at SWONI. We also do a thing called Jazz Mass, where we get all the indie kids from the Malé neighborhood where I live to come together and have a congregation of music with a pastor. So I've been doing really funky projects like that. Also, I've been doing Living Inside Jazz at museums. The ones that are coming up are the Andy Warhol Museum. I just did one at the Contemporary Art Museum with Italian furniture, mid-century furniture, with album covers and books and magazines, and had a good turnout for that. We had about 800 people, I think.
And of course, there's the goods, too.
The goods. The goods is a dance floor night from 18-year-olds to 60-year-olds, dancing for Storm. This upcoming goods in a couple of weeks is going to be really, really good. It's going to be Andy Smith from formerly from Portishead Head, and then we've got the Soul Jazz Orchestra coming in November, which I'll be touring with at the Quebec City Jazz Festival on the 17th and 18th.
And that's at Sala Rosa.
That's Quebec City.
It's in Quebec City.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But upcoming here, there's on the 25th.
Andy Smith on the 25th.
At Sala.
That's the big show coming up.
Okay. So we only have so much time, and you've been kind enough to come in this early, and I want to get to the real meat of our conversation, which is these courses that you're about to start teaching. There's going to be Jazz Diaspora and Jazz and Civil Rights at Pace, McGill's Continuing Education's department.
That's correct.
Can you fill us in on what you have planned for those?
Yeah, it all started off because I thought about getting myself into a teaching module that would actually have music in it, because there's a lot of courses that really don't cover the history of music, so I figured I could use music as an educational tool. So I decided to go back to school after being an educator for the last 18 years. Went back to Goddard College, and prior to that I was at McGill grad program, and decided to try to see if I can use these resources that people can actually use throughout high school, throughout college, university per se. What started that really is for my homeroom classes in high school, the kids were really misbehaving all the time, so I figured me, while I'm taking the attendance all the time, I'd get a kid to come up and actually present one of their favorite tracks and present and play the song in class. So I got anything from Godot to Slipknot to to Beyonce to, and it was fun. It was fun just listening to what the kids were listening to. But I realized how enthusiastic they were about it. And I thought, like, why can't this be in schools? Like,
right.
So, and most of the kids were doing these presentations really flawlessly were the kids who weren't doing well in school, you know? And I'm not sure if that has anything to do with the ethnicity or if it had to do with, it was just all these kids that you wouldn't think would get up in front of the class and do that, whether they had, whether they were shy or whether they had attitude. And it was great. It was great to do. So I just kept doing it, and then things kept building. And I thought, well, maybe this should be in the curriculum.
All right.
And that's where we're at.
So where exactly are we at? At Jazz Diaspora, for example, you're going to cover jazz throughout the world, the roots of that music and how it's flowering, everything from, according to your course description, you know, Jamaican swing band to American big band, up through jazz rock in the U.S. and throughout the world. So, what are some of the tunes that you're going to be playing and talking about, and how do you like to talk about music when you're teaching it?
Well, they're all from different time periods, and for example, the song we just played, "Fables of Phobos," which I just explained, that was important during the time of civil rights movement. There's other tunes that I'll be playing, which were important. For example, the Alpha Boys, which is the first thing I'm going to be teaching, is all about the ska movement, which was invented in Jamaica. So what you got from the ska movement is music that the Jamaicans would be listening to 90 miles away from New Orleans or Florida, Miami, which was broadcasted on the radios. These kids went to an institution called Alpha Boys School, which was a school for delinquent kids, and they ended up making something out of nothing, from your Don Drummonds to your Ricos to your Yellowmans. The list goes on. There's over 40 famous musicians that went to this school. And not only that, I'm going to compare those to the other institutions that are around, whether it's Casai in Detroit, which is a famous high school for that, whether there's Jazzmobile in New York, whether it's different institutions that do various things in jazz. Temple University has a 24-hour radio show programmation. Yale University archives all the jazz photos. Rutgers University collects all the records. So looking at Alpha Boys School, it's quite different than the other institutions, and I thought that would be very interesting to display.
Now, you chose the word jazz diaspora, and I find that an interesting choice. What do you mean in this context by the diaspora?
An array of jazz throughout international sounds.
Communities that are spread out.
Yeah.
And now, jazz and civil rights, that's going to be the course that follows this in the same continuing studies program at McGill. It sounds like you're have some ideas about how you're linking all of these things within the Jazz Diaspora course, and is jazz and civil rights going to focus more specifically on jazz and the way the music has had to do with the political movements of the 20th century?
Absolutely. What you're getting is that shift from early modern jazz to late modern jazz, which is bebop. And bebop was the music that actually revolutionized the sound that people were hearing in terms of what's going on in the world, whether it's Fables of Phobos, whether it's jazz and apartheid in South Africa with Max Roach's album, We Insist, Whether it's the four girls that got killed in Alabama and John Coltrane's song Alabama, those are things I want to touch on so that people can actually see that there are some historical evidence on this. Not only that, the importance of it is really crucial for the blacks during the time period to for upliftment. Mm-hmm. You know, as Max Rose said, we want to lift every voice.
Inspiring words. How much time do we have at this moment?
We don't have very much.
Okay. We're going to have to leave it
Okay.
But it seems like a good spot to leave it. To be continued, I'm sure, for all of your lucky students. Mm-hmm. And in order to find the course, you can go to McGill's Continuing Studies website. Is that right?
Yep, exactly.
And register online. Is that possible?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming
Thank
in and
you.
Joining us, Andy Williams.
Thanks for coming in
Thank
early.
Thank you. Yeah.